Good evening, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY 88.1 FM. And as you know, the focus of this show is to talk about some aspect of business. And tonight we're going to be talking about something that is near and dear to most businesses and extremely important, and especially when you go through some trying times, you realize just how important branding is. How do you keep your name out there as a business? How do you stay top of mind? Is it the name? Is it the words? Is it a picture? What is it that your business evokes in the thoughts and minds of those? And let me just give you a little bit of background about the subject of branding before we go into the topic and the focus of our show. And I think if you read the posts, you know who we're talking about this evening. According to most business experts, a brand should reflect deeply rooted values and how these show up in the conduct of daily business, distinctive personality that reflects the manner in which the business is conducted, deepening relationships with employees and customers, a sense of bonding, a commitment to a promise to those you serve and grow trust with those, unique experience with your brand and loyalty that it transpires, the one word or the concept in your mind that your own that is your own and endures the test of time, and a feeling that lingers in the minds of your market. A strong brand relationship will help overcome very challenging times. And tonight, in keeping with some of our past programs, as you know, we've had the presidents of some of the local higher institutions here, Cedar Crest, Ravian, Lehigh, Lafayette, learn about what the business of education is about. And tonight, we're going to take one aspect of that and talk about the importance of branding. And if you can answer this question or finish this statement, we are, then you know we're talking about Penn State University. And in full disclosure to you, I will share that I am also a Penn State alum, and I have with me two other alums to talk about Penn State, their branding, what's been happening, where the university is heading a little bit. And my guests this evening are Howard Culp, and he is president of the alumni, PSU Alumni Advisory Board, and Tom Donchez, who is an alum and formed the Letterman's Club. And as we all know, he's our claim to fame football player here from the Lehigh Valley to Penn State. So welcome, guys. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, Sally.
Tom, let's start with you a little bit. Why don't you give our listeners a little bit of your background? I gave them sort of a little nutshell of...
Sure. Well, I graduated from Liberty High School and went on to Penn State in 1970, and had the great fortune to be around a young Joe Paterno, and graduated in 1974, spent a little bit of time in the NFL, and came back, got my MBA from Lehigh and started with Air Products, got married, had three sons, two of which went to Penn State, by the way, one went to Lehigh, and worked for 36 years for Air Products in our energy business, and retired within the past few years.
And enjoying retirement.
And enjoying retirement.
Yeah, he has a tan, folks. You can't see that on the radio, but guess where he's been while we've been shoveling out. So thanks, Tom. Thanks for being here tonight. And Howard, why don't you share a little bit of background about you and about your role with the Advisory Council?
Sure. I grew up in a little town called Ottsville, just south of here in Bucks County, and I went to Palisades High School. I graduated Palisades in 68 and went on to Penn State into the architecture program. The architecture program is a five-year program, so I graduated in 1973. I landed back into Allentown after college and I got a job here with a local architectural firm. And then in 1978, I started my own firm and have been in my own business ever since in Allentown.
And highly involved in Penn State advisory and alumni areas, correct?
Yes. I am the chairman of the advisory board at the Lehigh Valley campus. As you know, Penn State has 19 Commonwealth campuses, and Lehigh Valley is one of them. We happen to be the the longest or the oldest continually running campus outside of University Park.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were formed in 1912. And so we've been
wow.
busy. 2 years ago, down at Lehigh Valley campus, we had a 100th year anniversary, and that ran
that.
For the whole year.
I didn't put two and two. Isn't that terrible? I didn't put two and two together. 100 years. Wow, incredible. Well, listeners, let me give you some other statistics about Penn State and Penn State Lehigh Valley. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about is with the idea and concept of branding and the importance of alumni and students and everything, I want you to get sort of the scope of Penn State. According to their website, outside the United States, we have 9,762 alums. And we in the U.S., we have 571,720 alums. Pennsylvania alone has 326,354 alums of Penn State, and Lehigh Valley has 13,197 alums. So this is a relatively large living organization worldwide.
It is the largest alumni association with active members in the world.
In the world.
Yes.
It's really interesting. As some of the listeners might recall, I used to have a gift gallery here in South Bethlehem years ago, and part of the gift gallery was to celebrate local talent and spirit, so I tried to get local artists and artisans, but had things from local colleges in the store as well. And I went, you know, Albright, Kutztown, DeSales, all of them. I couldn't keep Penn State or Lehigh items in my store. As soon as I got them, they would fly out.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, those two alumni associations seem to be extremely strong, and you know, it has to be branding.
Right.
You know, that's what it's all about.
Well, you know, Sally, you mentioned earlier the values that go along with branding, and you know, the ties that bind Penn State together are value-based ties. You know, when you enumerate these and think about you know, what we stand for, what Penn State stands for. And we'll talk a little bit later tonight about, you know, the philanthropy of Penn Staters and the latest fundraising campaign. But the ties are strong. And, you know, we share a common education. We share people that we've known for long periods of time. We overlap. Our children went there. And, you know, there's something really unique about Penn State and the Penn State values. You mentioned earlier, we are, and the response is Penn State. And that goes back a long way. A lot of people don't realize where that originated from. And it came out of the segregation of the 40s. In 1946, Penn State was going to play Miami, and Miami didn't want to play against black players. And Penn State boycotted the game. And 2 years later, they were in the Cotton Bowl playing SMU. And SMU didn't want to play against black players, and they wanted to have a meeting with Penn State. And they wanted to negotiate where these players were housed and how much time they'd have, whether they'd play it at all. And the captain of the team, Steve Sui, and Sui is a famous name at Penn State,
yes,
said,
is.
We're not going to negotiate with anybody. We are Penn State. We don't do that. And that was the origin of We Are Penn State. And, you know, it stands for something. It stands when people say we are Penn State, when 95,000 people say that, underlying it is a value.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the origin of it is we don't segregate. Our black players stay with us and they play. But a lot's been added to that. A lot of values have been added to that over the last 50, 60 years or so. And that's something we all, I think, intuitively understand if you're a Penn Stater.
Well, and I think the events that have unfolded the last several years, which have been extremely challenging for Penn State, have even sort of made the glue stickier, you know, have sort of bound. Mm-hmm. And have you seen that with your interactions?
Oh, definitely. We when that actually happened, everybody really congregated down on campus. The advisory board came and a lot of alumni and things just to try and make some sense of it. Everybody was very, very upset. But, you know, it has grown because of what happened. I think we've gotten a lot stronger, particularly in how we interact with each other.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, we were saying before the show started, I don't know what it is about Penn State, but I don't hear other people that I know graduated from other colleges and universities having quite the reaction when they run into fellow students or alums or whatever that we seem to have, you know, if I could meet somebody anywhere, and if I knew he or she was a Penn State grad, there's an immediate bond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's closeness.
It's so true. Sally, I was part of a production producing a movie recently, and it's called The Jill We Know. Maybe some of your listeners have seen it or heard of it. And over the past, since I retired, I've been traveling around the country showing it to alumni groups. We showed it to the Alumni Council one summer up at Penn State. Right. And since then, they've all requested us to come to their cities. And we've been all over the country with it. And
who's we?
It's largely me and a couple other
your
guys.
Your wife, huh?
Yeah, my wife, Sheila. And a couple of the guys I did the movie with, a guy named Dan Leary and Bob Capretto. So we've shown this movie all over the country. And, you know, when we show it, the movie's an hour long. We get together for maybe, you know, 20 minutes or so, say hi to everybody before the movie starts. We introduce the movie. We show the movie. And then we can't get anybody to leave. and you know, we've averaged maybe 400, 500 people a showing in 28 cities. From Wisconsin to Illinois to Ohio to Florida to D.C. to Maryland. You know, Pittsburgh, all over the country. We've been all over the country with this, and you know the alumni. There's such a strong affinity among the alumni, you know, not just for Joe Paterno and the football program, but for all that Penn State stands for, and their great memories of Penn State and their ties to Penn State. You know, when you're living in Florida on the peninsula. And everybody remembers the headline of November 2011 about Penn State, and that's all they remember. They don't haven't read anything or seen anything ever since. So that in their minds they're stuck with this story, this incorrect story about Penn State. If you're an alumni, that's difficult to put up with. So when 500 alumni get to sit with each other and talk and be around each other, it's a great feeling.
Group therapy.
It's group therapy.
Yeah. Well, I'm just looking. I have a copy of the map that's on the website with the country, and I don't think there is a state in the United States that doesn't have Penn State alums or has some connection to Penn State.
And I don't think there's a state that doesn't have an alumni society either.
Incredible.
So yeah, it's a very large group of people throughout the world. There's a few countries that have alumni societies.
It's you know, incredible what this brand stands for and what it does. It's held everyone together. Let's talk a little bit. You had mentioned about the campaign that was just concluded, Tom Howard. You were a part of it. You were up at University Park last week.
Yes.
And sort of got the real results and all the information. Let's share with our listeners how powerful the Penn State brand has become in its fundraising, despite the challenges that the school has had.
Well, the fundraising has been going for 7.5 years. It actually culminates, the last day is June 30th of this year. But they decided to have an announcement during the blue and white game, or right after the blue and white game, actually. And so they invited all the chairs and all the people that were involved in doing the fundraising, of which I am the co-chair here in the Lehigh Valley for Penn State Lehigh Valley. And so we were able to go up, and actually we had a whole weekend of events that we went to. And then Saturday night after the game, they announced the total amount raised to that evening, basically. And it came out to $2.158 billion. That's with a B.
Incredible.
Yeah, they started the program 7.5 years ago, and they wanted to raise $1.6 billion. And during the silent phase, which is the first about 3 years of a fundraiser, they were doing fairly well. So they decided to raise everybody's amount.
Goal.
Yes.
Stretch
Penn,
goal.
Penn State Lehigh Valley's goal originally when I started was $1 million, and they tripled it. They went to $3 million. And fortunately, we were able to do that to a lot of the thank you to all the alumni around.
Howard, and I read recently that in this particular 7-year fund raising, more alumni contributed to the fund itself, to this seven-year fund, than any other number of alumni at any other school.
That's correct.
In the United States.
Yep. And we're also only one of 12 of the in the world of universities that have raised over $2 billion.
Wow.
So. And where is it going to?
It's actually going all different phases, but the largest amount and one third of the amount is going for scholarships, and that's pretty much most of where Lehigh Valley's is going is to a scholarship funds. But the donors obviously had some areas where they could direct the funds for, but most of it's going to scholarships.
Scholarships of all types.
All types. Okay. Yes, and it's really the donor could pretty much tell them what they
wanted to do.
One of the ones that I have done is for the Department of Architecture. So you know, obviously you can direct it where you want it to go. Yes.
Okay. Before we leave the advisory council or the advisory board, why don't you share a little bit about what your role is now that you're chairing this, and what all does the advisory board do? They're composed of alums and non-alums and just community leaders.
Pretty much as you just mentioned, we are an eclectic group. We have some alums. We have people that didn't even know who Penn State was. Well,
who?
You know, I think
where
I,
are they?
They, they didn't know much about Penn State. Let's put it that way. Right now we have 13 members. We're hoping to increase it. Our charter says that we are allowed to have 21. So we're actively looking for some people right at the moment. We are, like I said, we're eclectic. We have some bankers, we have an attorney, we have an architect, we have a builder, we have you name it. We have a couple people from Air Products. So you know, we're kind of very eclectic. And what we really do is we meet every other month down at the campus, and we're only an advisory board, so we don't have any fiduciary responsibilities.
Except to raise money. But,
well, that's one of the main reasons we exist, is to raise money, yes. And everybody on the board is part of the development committee.
Okay,
you know,
so. All right. Gotcha.
But we actually bring the community voice to the campus. And what that means is, in fact, we just went through a discussion on Penn State Lehigh Valley is looking to increase the number of bachelor's degrees that we have, and so we use the advisory board to come up with what does the Lehigh Valley need for graduates, and what type of program should we be looking to do at Lehigh Valley as a bachelor's degree, so that when they come out
to work opportunities
right in the valley, because we would like them to stay in the valley. So,
yeah.
So we're looking at a number of new programs to help, and that was the advisory board.
Okay.
The advisory board has three committees, actually four if you call development, but everybody's in that. We have a community relations committee, which basically we take the community, we try and bring Air Products in, and we try and do get the community active into Penn State. Then we have a student engagement, which we try and work with the students and try and find out what their needs are, and maybe we can advise the students. We actually, most of our board members actually take a student and let them shadow them or do at work or show them things that are going on. Another interesting thing that we do is a planning committee, and that actually is building or developing new programs or developing new bachelor's degrees, things like that. So we're always involved. We're with the faculty, and in our meetings we have the society that comes and
the
reports.
The alumni society.
We have the Penn State Society that comes and gives us a report. We have the faculty come and give us reports on what all is happening, and it's amazing when you sit there and listen to the things that are actually happening at Penn State Lehigh Valley.
Wow. Yeah. Listeners, stay tuned because we've got a lot more coming. In fact, I think we're going to take over the rest of the evening here, aren't we, Tom?
And
Howard?
Yeah.
We're just beginning. Please stay with us for the break. We'll be back shortly.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Allentown Environmental Advisory Council presenting their second annual Sustainable on Saturday, May 3rd from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Allentown Brew Works, a celebration of Lehigh Valley initiatives to protect and sustain Allentown's environmental resources. For more information, 610-437-7610.
Welcome back, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And we are talking tonight about branding, and we're talking about Penn State University because there's a strong correlation between the strength of their brand and what has helped them over the years, especially since 2011. And with me in the studio tonight is Howard Culp, and we have Tom Donches. Howard is, I guess, the president of Howard Culp Architects, since it's named after him. And he's the chair of Penn State's Lehigh Valley Advisory Board. And Tom Donches is alum. He's at Letterman's Club. He's involved a lot in going around and sharing information about what's been happening the last couple years. And as I said earlier on, we're talking about branding. So let's talk a bit about Penn State's brand. What does it mean? How can we define it? You know, when you're talking, Howard, about getting people who aren't a graduate of Penn State on your advisory board, they start to get that, whatever it is that Penn State has, and they become stronger. Let's define what that brand is so our listeners have an idea of what it means to have a really strong brand, because it's so important to businesses.
Should I start?
You can start, Tom.
Okay. I think, you know, the brand, Penn State's brand is really interesting, and you know, it encompasses you know, the whole aspect of Happy Valley for at least the alumni.
Where did that come from?
Happy Valley, it's just a happy place to spend 4 or 5 years while you're going through school.
Or six.
yeah, and you grow up there. You meet your best friends there. You meet your partners in life there, and so it begins. And then, you know, it's a broad-based university that has grown in so many different ways over the years. You know, it's never let us down. As Howard says, it's raised money for tuition. It's raised money for, you know, new programs and new professorships and endowments, things like that. You know, it's had a sports program, including football, that we can all be proud of, that have sort of led the country, led the way in you know, success with honor. It has the highest graduation rates of athletes and among the highest in the country. It graduates African Americans at the same rates in athletics as whites, which is unheard of in college sports, unfortunately. It has won national championships, and it's one of only two schools to ever have won a national championship since 1936, when the wire services first started voting for national champions, without ever having been on violated an NCAA rule. BYU is the other. It's raised money for children through THON. THON is the largest student-run charitable organization in the world. It raises an incredible amount of money. It's an enormous amount of work.
I have that figure here somewhere. We can share that because it really is amazing. The THON raised, and as Tom said, it is a student-run event. In 2014, it raised $13 million.
Yeah.
And since 1977, when it was first started, it raised $114 million. And this is for cancer, pediatric cancer.
And Sally, you and I were there when it first began, and it was very modest.
Yeah.
And it's grown over the years, and students take such great pride in it. It changes people's lives.
And so, it's expanded. I mean, Notre Dame High School has a thon, and Steel Stacks have a thon, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So
that's exactly right. You know, it goes to academic success and the kind of kids that come out of Penn State. I recruited, part of my responsibilities was recruiting graduate business students, MBAs, for Air Products. I did that for many, many years at Penn State. And, you know, over the years, it kept getting more crowded, more recruiters from all over the country. And maybe 5 or 8 years ago, Penn State was judged by corporate recruiters across the nation to be the number one destination for recruiting. They'd rather go to Penn State and recruit engineers, technical
folks,
business people.
And it's not easy to get to Penn State.
it's not easy to get there, but it's been judged to be the number one stop for corporate recruiters.
And that hasn't changed since 2011, has it?
No, it hasn't.
But the brand...
And just recently, this past month or two, 300,000 researchers and academicians across the world were asked to rank the top universities in the country in terms of academics and research. And Penn State was ranked 39th across the world, in the world. And so, you know, academics, philanthropy, loyalty, the ability to raise funds with a broad base of its alumni.
Sports.
Sports success, academic success of the athletes. There's so much to be proud of at Penn State. We're all so proud of everybody we come in contact with.
Yeah.
And you know, those attributes are what we're talking about today.
Well, and you know, it doesn't matter whether or not you go back to campus or tailgate or any of that kind of stuff. I graduated, and I didn't go back to campus for years, and yet still the strength of that connection was always there.
Yeah.
You know, and I find that with a lot of people when I run into them about Penn State and just what it means. And I think, you know, there have been other organizations that have had major challenges, you know, some pharmaceuticals and some things like that. But I think for Penn State, for what it was, the challenge that they had, which, you know, with children and all that kind of stuff, really we excelled as far as being able to come together, pull ourselves up, and address it, and then move, not beyond it, but move towards something better.
Right. Yeah. I think you know, the person who gave us the cue for the right way to act was Joe Paterno. When he was fired, he wasn't bitter.
We all were. Right.
He lived a long life. He had seen the best and worst in human beings. He was a great judge of human character. He recognized that, you know, with the benefit of knowing how this all turned out, and if he would have knew at the time, he would have done something different. But he was very calm and very generous towards everybody. He was fired, and within a month of getting fired, he still donated $100,000 to Penn State, which is something he has done for his whole career. He gave most of the money he made back.
To the library,
and to other things. So he gave us the right cues. He told us that the big thing, the most important thing, is the future of Penn State. And it's not his future. It's the future of Penn State, and that was his final gift to us.
Wow, and you had said, Tom, when we had met and started talking about the concept of tonight's show, that through sort of that relationship with Joe and pulling together, you helped to form some camaraderie among the former football players, the Letterman's Club.
Yeah.
Why don't you share a little bit about that? Because that was established well before all this stuff started happening.
A long time ago. You know, when in the early 1980s, or I can't remember exactly when, some of my friends, guys I played with, came back. We went to a game. And we had a hard time getting tickets to the game. We had a hard time finding each other.
No cell phones at that time.
And meanwhile, it was homecoming, and the band was organized. They knew how to find each other. You know, they had a lot of experience. They had their own organization, alumni organization. They perform at halftime. So we had a few beers, and we went to Joe's house after the game, and he was dining with a lot of bowl representatives. But we came in. He was happy to see us. He introduced us to everybody. And finally, he said, "What do you guys want?" And we said, "You're busy. We'll talk to Sue." So she was the power in the family anyway. So we told her that we wanted to form an organization, and we wanted to form a Letterman's Club. We have the greatest football program at the greatest university in the world, and we deserve to have a great Letterman's Club here, and we'll organize it. We just need some help. We need your help to get us going. So we formed it, and it was largely social, but since then we've raised a lot of money in scholarships in the names of some of our former and deceased coaches, including Joe. We have 1,600 members. We get together often during the year. And it's something that Joe was really, really proud of because of, you know. He
got to see everybody again.
He loved to see us. You know, he loved for us to come back. He loved to see how our lives were changing and the kind of people we've turned into. He loved seeing our families and our wives, and he remembered everybody. And you know, it was something that, you know, from Lenny Moore, who graduated in 1954, through, you know, Mike Ceramelli, who graduated in the 2000s at Penn State. You know, we all had the same treatment. We all had Joe, and we're all part of this Letterman's Club. And so when Joe died and they replaced him with Bill O'Brien and the NCAA sanctions were inflicted upon Penn State, you know, Bill was afraid of losing the team. And he was looking for a way to reach the players on the team through this Letterman's group. So he asked Fran Gander if Franny could. Franny was his assistant, administrative assistant, and he asked us, Franny, if he could get some of the Letterman back to talk to the team about why they should stay and what Penn State was all about. And you know, he wanted us to all be there in like 3 days. He thought we'd get 50 kids, 50 guys back, maybe 60 guys back. We got 550 Letterman back.
Wow.
They flew in from the Middle East, from Asia, from the West Coast, from Canada, from South America. They flew in from all over the place on 3 days' notice. And we spent the whole day from middle of the afternoon until late at night with the team, talking to them, had dinner with them, 550 guys. And from that point on, they didn't lose a player. Now, you know, Michael Marty and Michael Zordich, they exhibited great leadership. They were the captains of the team. They really held this team together. We helped. We helped
right.
them.
Yeah.
But we were able to remind them of the benefit of our experience at Penn State and what it's meant to us for all of these years. We think we had an impact. And Bill O'Brien was stunned. He couldn't believe that 550 former players would drop everything they were doing and travel back, in some cases, thousands of miles on 3 days' notice to help him out and talk to the kids.
Especially players.
And that's what Penn State's about. That is exactly what Penn State's about. And Bill, I think Bill, from that moment on, he understood what he had, where he was at. He really understood the program, and he understood the university much better from that point on.
Wow. And the fact that, you know, you have people coming back from 57, you know, on, you know, it's not just recent graduates.
Right.
It's,
right.
You know, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And you mobilized the group, too, in November at right? that last, was it the last game?
Well, after Joe got fired, the November game against Nebraska, we just were at a loss. We were all just so distraught, as everybody was, all the alumni were. And we just needed to come back, and we had 500 guys come back to support Tom Bradley, who was the interim head coach, and support the team. And we met the team on the field before the game, and we spent time with them after the game. So we had, you know, 500-600 players came back for just that game on short notice.
Wow, incredible pool. Now, do you see at the Lehigh Valley campus, do the students have that same, when you're talking and developing things for the campus, do
oh,
they
yeah,
have the
it's,
same
it's
pool?
Oh, yeah, it's rather interesting. You would not think that, you know, the campuses would have that glue, they run buses up to the games, you know, so they
there's a
interact.
Strong connection.
There's a strong connection. But the connection really happens in your freshman year anyway. And so we have a lot of students that start at Lehigh Valley, and then 2 years later they'll go up to University Park. We have a number of them that actually want to come back and graduate from Lehigh Valley, and graduation's in 2 weeks, and we'll probably have a number of students that went up to University Park, but will actually graduate here because they have much fond memories of
the roots are here.
The roots are here, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, as the were you on the advisory board when all this stuff
yes.
hit?
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Were there challenges locally that you had to deal with perceptions and all that kind of stuff?
We're somewhat divorced from that only because we were down here and the Commonwealth campus, but we were involved only because obviously people knew we were on the advisory board.
Mm-hmm.
And we would get phone calls and things, and we really didn't know much more than what was in the papers anyway or on the news. Even the chancellor was getting bits and pieces, so she couldn't really help us either that well. But as things developed and the school got its branding back, so to speak.
Right,
that,
got its legs back.
Back
and,
yeah. Then everything came back together.
Wow. Now, today, on the advisory board, you had mentioned that the four things that you're required to do or that you help with the development and the curriculum mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. What is the biggest challenge that you face? Is it getting the community voice in there?
Actually, I think one of the biggest challenges that we have is Penn State Lehigh Valley is a growth campus. We're mm-hmm. Because of where we are, a lot of students really, I think, look at the campus and say, this is a great place because we're an hour and a half from New York. We're an hour from Philadelphia.
We're in the Lehigh Valley.
We're in the Lehigh Valley. Since we've moved to our new campus, 2009, we've actually doubled our size. We went from 500 students, and we're over, hopefully this year we'll be going over 1,000. So
have we filled every inch?
And our biggest challenge is that when we took over the building, it didn't meet the Penn State standards that Penn State has for the space and things. So we had to really do a lot of renovations, and by doing so, we lost a number of classrooms. So even though the building was classified for 1,600 students, we are busting now with 1,000 students. So one of our challenges is to get University Park to realize that we need maybe another building or something. So, we're working on that.
It is a growth campus.
It's a growth
exactly
campus.
Right.
Yeah.
And it fits a need that's for folks who, need to spend time at home, need to preserve their funds and maybe live at home while they go to school and helps right. them be a Penn Stater.
One of the things that really helped us is our new location in Center Valley.
Yeah, Fogelsville was a little out of it.
Yeah. Fogelsville was way out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, people didn't even know where we exist. But we're seeing a number of New Jersey students coming because they can commute from across the border and come over. So we're seeing a lot of out-of-state students coming.
Well, there's a lot of land there. Is that land part of the...
We actually, unfortunately, only own the land where the building's at.
Lehigh owns the rest.
Yeah, but Lehigh owns.
Oh.
Yes.
They own a lot of it.
Yes.
Lehigh owns that.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it was just turned over. The Stabler.
Right. That's part of the Stabler property.
But the Stabler in April, whatever wasn't sold went to Lehigh.
Okay. I saw. I was thinking the Stabler part was more on the 309 side, not the 378 side property. That's all Stabler.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
They'll work with us.
Yeah, they will.
Listeners, stay tuned. We have another short break. Please stay tuned. WDIY 88.1 FM, your NPR station in the Lehigh Valley.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture. From its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown listener-supported community public radio.
Welcome back. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we're talking about branding, we're talking about Penn State, we're talking about just sort of the strength of overcoming some difficulties when you can pull everything together and you do have a strong brand. And with me tonight is Harold Culp. Howard Culp, he is board president of the Penn State Lehigh Valley Advisory Council Committee. And we have with us Tom Donchez, who is Penn State grad, football player, and very involved in the Penn State Letterman. And we've been talking about a whole bunch of things. And Howard, before our break, was just talking about sort of the good problem we have with the Lehigh Valley campus, which is its growth problem. And for those of you that have traveled in South Bethlehem at 3rd and New Street, recently, you see that the Nittany Lion is no longer sitting on a bench parked there. And I was talking to Howard about that before. And I didn't realize that it was owned. I thought it was owned by Mr. Benner, but it's owned by Penn State.
That's correct. Yes.
And you might see that moving around the valley?
We hope to move it around the valley. It is now right at Steel Stacks. It'll be there for a while. And because there's a number of events happening at the Steel Stacks with Penn Staters, so we moved him over there. So, and I do have to admit, thank you to all the listeners and Penn Staters that we've been tweeted hundreds of times with pictures of families sitting by the lion. So we're very proud that it's actually being used for what we wanted it to be. You know?
I
and that's part
great.
Of a brand, you know.
Yeah, it is.
The lion
it's,
is there, it is. You know, the brand.
The
yes.
colors, the blue and
the white.
You know, so it's all a part of what's going on there. I have to admit, I was up at main campus for alumni weekend, maybe it was 2 or 3 years ago. It was the weekend right before Joe Paterno's statue was taken down, and I had a chance to have my picture taken next to the statue, which was really just a favorite of mine. So I'm hoping to see that back there someday. And Tom, let's talk a little bit about some of the progress that has happened with the NCAA and Pennsylvania courts. There was just something recently in the Bethlehem Press about a position that the Pennsylvania courts have taken regarding this whole sanction. And
yeah, it's a very important decision that the Commonwealth Court made. It all goes back to the sanctions that the NCAA levied on Penn State. Part of the terms of the sanctions were that Penn State had to pay the NCAA a $60 million fine. And the NCAA was going to form an endowment with an endowment board from people all across the country. And they were going to take most of the money, nearly all of the money, out of state and out of Pennsylvania and spread it around for, to youth protection agencies and so forth. And so Charlie Dent originally, and deserves a lot of credit for where we're at today, Charlie Dent originally found out about that, and he made a lot of noise and wrote a lot of letters to the NCAA requesting that they keep the money in Pennsylvania. But being on the federal side of things, Charlie couldn't really do anything in Congress to prevent this from happening. So a fellow named Senator Corman, who's a state senator from Centre County, was able to pass in the legislature a thing called the Endowment Act. And the Endowment Act prohibits organizations who levy fines on Commonwealth schools from taking the money out of state. And so the NCAA sued the legislature, and they sued Senator Corman for passing this act. And the Commonwealth Court heard the lawsuit and said that the act is legal, that the NCAA is not allowed to confiscate this money and spread it around the country. It needs to stay in state. Penn State is a tax-exempt organization itself. Penn State is. The trustees and the university has fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers and students of Pennsylvania, and that money needs to stay in state. And that's what the Endowment Act did. In addition, the Commonwealth Court said as part of their ruling that they think that the sanctions themselves are illegal. And that the NCAA didn't have the
authority
to enter into sanctions like this, nor Penn State haven't had the authority or the authority to sign up to anything like this. The trustees didn't have the authority. That's an open issue, and that's to be decided. So you know, thanks to Charlie Dent and thanks to Senator Cormann for keeping the money in state. Let it benefit our kids. Let it benefit our children. We have more needs in this state than we can satisfy with existing funding. And that $60 million will go a long way, and it deserves to stay in Pennsylvania. And I'm glad that these our two legislatures acted the way they did.
Yeah, and Charlie's not even a Penn State grad, is he?
No, yes, Charlie is.
He just taught at Lehigh.
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. There's that Lehigh-Penn State connection right. again. I'll tell right. you, it's a very strong one here in the Valley. Howard, you mentioned some activities and things coming up, and Penn State, in addition to getting a new coach, Coach Franklin, it has a new president now, and the Lehigh Valley's on that circuit, aren't they?
Yes. We are proud to say that the new president will be coming to the campus on May 2nd in the morning. And then on May 5th, I believe it is, the provost will be coming down from University Park. And, you know, both of them are very interested in our growth and seeing what we're doing. And so we're very proud that they're coming to see us.
Okay, so they're not coming for graduation or anything. Actually,
graduation is then the following Saturday, okay. which is the 10th. And we have been very, very fortunate in the for the Lehigh Valley campus that our chancellor, Dr. Ann Williams, has always gotten very interesting speakers. Last year we had Jeffrey Tambor, who is a star on Arrest and Development. Mm-hmm. We've had Mayim Bilick, I believe that's the way you say it. She's on the Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
And this year we're very, very proud to say, and this probably only some of the older folks are going to know this, but we are having a gentleman by the name of John Ratzenberger, who actually was Cliff Clavin on Cheers.
See what the brand does? You get those names.
We get those names.
That's right. I'm old enough to remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
Definitely me too. But yes, yeah, so that he sounds like he's going to be a really interesting speaker. He has actually been, after Cheers, he has been a voice on every single Pixar movie. He has, you know, he's been one of the characters in the Pixar movies. So he's been involved with that. He is a huge philanthropist too. So I think it's
It's
really interesting. So he's going to be coming actually Friday evening. He lives in Connecticut, so he's coming down from Connecticut, and we'll be here for graduation. So he's going to be the speaker for graduation for our kids.
Okay. So. And tonight there's a mixer going down at Steel Stacks,
and then there is also the coach. Is coming.
Coach Franklin's coming.
Coming, and I believe
17th, May 17th.
17th, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and that's over at
Thursday. Thursday is.
And that'll be over at the event center,
Steel Stacks as well.
Yep.
Has Coach Franklin reached out to the Letterman yet?
Well, you know, he just showed up.
He's just on campus.
January and had to get to know his players. But, you know, we have a leadership group up at their State College based. Terrific group of guys, great leaders who, you know, the president and the secretary and vice president of the club. We have an administrative assistant up there who, you know, runs our database and communicates to us. And he's certainly reached out to them. I mean, he is really aware of you know, our history and our past. I was out of town. I couldn't make it. But over the Blue-White game, Coach Franklin got together with maybe 150 former Lettermen at a restaurant in State College the night before the game, and spent like 3 or 4 hours with us, and you know, he's a Pennsylvania guy,
right?
He's
East Stroudsburg.
From Langhorne and East Stroudsburg. Mm-hmm. He went to Neshaminy High School, so you know, he's a Pennsylvania guy. He's a Penn State guy. He would have gone to Penn State. Joe didn't offer him a scholarship. He had to go to East Stroudsburg, and he did well there. But he is happy to be back. We're happy he's back, and you know, He met with a lot of people he's known over the years. This past weekend, former Letterman he's known over the years, and you know, we told him that we'd do anything to help him, and all he has to do is keep graduating players and play Penn State football, and you know, he has our loyalty forever.
Wow,
he is full of energy. If you were at the Blue and White game, he never stopped. He was on the field the whole time watching the game from behind the scenes. It was just it was amazing. He is something else.
Well, and I read in the paper the next day sort of his strategy, and obviously not wanting to overextend or overplay the students because we have a limited backup
right.
group.
We have fewer numbers.
And we had some injuries, so we want to make sure that, you know, we want to see their talents and their skills, but not necessarily put them out of the season.
Right.
So, I mean, I thought that was very wise of him to take that approach. We've talked about, you know, what Penn State means and sort of the brand and what it encapsulates, but both of you are very still actively involved. I'm not so much, but you're actively involved. What impresses you the most when you're dealing with students from Penn State? Tom, you did the interviewing when you were at Air Products, or, you know, the alums that you come in contact with. What impresses you the most about these folks?
Well, they're bright. There's a sense of humility and perspective. It's amazing, that you recruit, kids in their mid-20s who are getting their master's degrees in business, and they might be from all over the country. And but they become Penn Staters immediately. They become Penn Staters for life. And, you know, they're highly qualified. They know how to work. They're well taught. They're patient. They're humble. And I know at Air Products, the folks we've hired at Air Products, and I've seen folks who've gone elsewhere that I tried to hire, have done extraordinarily well. And, you know, they stay together. They're loyal to each other. They're loyal to Penn State. They're just really solid, bright people that you want to be around and you want to build companies with. And that's what I've seen. And I've seen it in action. I've recruited a lot of them. And, you know, I have two of my children are Penn Staters, so they're in that position, and I'm very proud of them.
Yeah. Okay. Howard.
Well, I see. I'm actively with the students at the campus now.
Right.
So I see them just coming in and just learning about what the Penn State really means to them.
Yeah.
And we have one of the interesting stories. We have a student who took on being the Thon chair this year, mm-hmm. and
wow.
he was phenomenal. I mean, their goal originally was to do better than they did last year. Well, this year they went $13,000 more than they did last year, and it was basically because of Noah. He just really and that's the whole thing. In fact, the advisory board this year is going to award a student who actively does not just academics, but is involved with the community and does a lot of things. And so we're giving out an award this year, and Noah already knows he's getting it. But, we see that the students are just so thrilled to be helping. It was an amazing send-off for when we sent the kids, the two dancers, up to Thon. There was a couple hundred students that came to
share. So you had people like auditioned for going up, or how
well,
they were selected?
There's Lehigh Valley has two dancers. Now, next year, because we went over $40,000, we might get three dancers.
Okay,
it's about how much you raise, yes. And so we're hoping we're going to have three next year. But then they're selected by the students and by the committee. There's always a committee of the actual students that sit down plan Thon, and these are the guys that are the students that actually go out and do the canning that you see on the corners.
Oh, I love to see them. I'm always taking down my window and giving them money. They're the only ones I'll ever do that for.
Right.
I still have a car where you roll the window down.
That.
It's a pickup truck.
I'm not telling you what year I graduated.
But so they plan those weekends and when they're allowed to go, and there's certain weekends that University Park students come down. There's certain weekends that our Lehigh Valley students can go out canning. So it's been a really interesting to watch these kids develop. And a lot of them are freshmen. So this is their very first year at a school, and they've gotten so involved with the Thon. And like I said, when we sent the students off for the dance, we had a little meeting, and there was probably 200 students that came to that just to wish some good luck and everything, because it's amazing.
That's
and this
incredible.
is, you know, this is just something that they do constantly. There's always things going on down there with the students, and it's great to see. Lehigh Valley is one of the it's been fortunate because we have the velodrome here.
Right.
So the Penn State cycling team actually is here at the Lehigh Valley. There isn't a cycling team up at University Park, so it's here that they actually have the Penn State team. So we've sent a few into the Olympics and things like that from here.
Does Penn State have a rowing team?
No. Not that I know.
Oh. Maybe we can use the Lehigh Lehigh is doing. Lehigh River. Interesting.
I don't think we do anyway.
Okay. This has been great, you know, and it's always so refreshing to be with Penn State folks and to talk about it. But let's sort of come back a little bit and talk about the branding. And, you know, if you were a business owner listening to what we were saying tonight about how important it is and what a brand can do,
right,
what words of wisdom would you give that business owner about the importance of the brand or where to put energies when thinking about this?
Right. I think back to an example early in my career where Johnson & Johnson had a problem with Tylenol.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Johnson & Johnson's chairman immediately pulled everything off the shelf, was very transparent. They took an enormous financial hit, but, you know, their interest was protect the welfare of folks who might buy this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do anything wrong. It was somebody was tampering with the product. There was transparency. There was they cared about their customers. They did the right thing despite the cost of doing the right thing, and in response to that, you know, their customer base loved them, and you know, they're an admired firm, and they continue to be so. Penn State has done things the right way for a long, long time. You know, I'm very familiar with Joe Paterno, and I know how he's run his program. Over the years, he's been remarkably consistent. And Penn State has been remarkably consistent over the years. We've had a serious bump this past few years or so, that's being sorted out with the trustees and with the courts and everything else. But Penn State believes in core values, and I think that it's easy sort of to dismiss that and get cynical about it. But I think we all buy into those core values of loyalty and philanthropy and community service and doing well in the communities we live in. Penn State offers you the ability to get a fantastic degree and great training in your chosen field. They've done it consistently over the years. There's a lot of parallels in a way between companies that have had problems and then rebounded from those problems and Penn State, who has had problems and rebounded from those problems. There's a core belief in the alumni base in the basic goodness of Penn State, and it's based upon their experience and their children's experience and the grandchildren's experience at Penn State. And I think that that's something that can be easily lost. But yet Penn State's the depth of feelings for Penn State is so strong and so deep that we survive this. As Howard pointed out in our fundraising, we've survived this, and we will survive it, and we'll be stronger coming out of it. And I think that the hit that Penn State took and the football program took was unwarranted. It was based upon a lot of false narratives. Those are being straightened out, and it's going to take some time, and we shouldn't be afraid of fighting to find the truth. We're all fighting to find the truth, and that'll happen. It's going to happen very soon, and so that's part of our core strengths. Our core strength is, we want to move on, and we want to maintain our position as a great university, but nothing's settled until it's settled right, and we're trying to settle our affairs properly.
Right. Okay.
And that's the Penn State way of doing it.
All right, and Howard, you're a business owner, so
right.
what we just have three seconds left.
Right. what
would you like to share as far as the strength of a brand or what's?
Well, the strength of the brand, I think, is just getting it out there and being a good quality brand. You know, making sure that what you believe in is really what you're going to project out there.
Living it, it's just not words.
Just not words.
You've got to make sure it lives and breathes.
Right.
Listeners, thank you so much for being with us tonight. And I'd like to thank my guests, Tom Donches and Howard Culp. It was most generous of you to give your time tonight to do this on finally a beautiful, almost warm night in the Lehigh Valley. Listeners, please stay tuned because Celtic Fair is up next. This is Sally Hanlon. You're listening to WDIY 88.1 FM, Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Stay tuned for headline news from NPR and then Celtic Fair with Rick Weaver, your host tonight here on listener-supported community public radio WDIY Allentown at 88.1 FM Allentown Bethlehem, serving the Lehigh Valley. The time is coming up to 7:01, 48 degrees with fair skies in the Lehigh Valley.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm